You're listening to the Jason Gregor Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. All Silverados and Truck Nation overlay, 10 to 15 specials with cash rebates or payments. All trucks are showing max factory rebates. Learn more at LakewoodChev.com. Farhan Lalji from TSN joins us. Farhan, BC and Edmonton on Saturday night should be a great game. The two quarterbacks who were over 5,000 passing yards last year, and I expect both offenses to be fairly pass-happy again this year.
Well, first of all, I'm taking the Ryan Rashog fantasy team on DraftKings.
Yeah.
Has he got a team?
Oh, God. Could he even, if he could name seven CFL guys without looking it up, that would be an accomplishment.
Hey, you said it. I didn't. But anyway, if he does pull it in late before, because he still has until the Thursday deadline, I'm going with my buddy Shogger, who's getting married this summer, and I'm looking forward to going out to that.
Oh, that'll be a lot of fun. I love it.
Hey, but yeah, it should be a fun game on Saturday. And you're right. I mean, these teams have both got explosive offenses, and I know that in Edmonton's case, you know, you lose Darrell Walker, but I think their entire receiving core, left to right, is probably going to be better than it was a year ago, and I think Brandon Zylstra, I think, is going to be a different type of player than Darrell Walker, but a guy that's capable of having a big time impact with his skill set. So it should be a lot of fun. I mean, I think there's still some questions along Edmonton's offensive line. I think they're pretty excited about the group they have coming out of camp, but overall, it should be a pretty explosive game on Saturday night.
Now, looking at BC, mm-hmm. Wally Bono, I had him on my show, Farhan, and he said, hey, I made my commitment to coach for 2 years. It sounds like he's going to step away from coaching at the end of the year. Do you think he steps away from GMing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when he steps away, he's going to step away. And you know, truthfully, it's a story we reported back during Grey Cup week, that he was going to play out his contract or coach and GM out his contract. But I think when he stepped aside from coaching and just took the GM's chair, I think that was one thing he realized, that I can't do just this. I can't not have control. So I think at that moment when he came back into the chair as the head coach, he knew at that time that I can't do one role, and when I give one up, I'm going to be giving both up. So I think this is going to be the final year we see Wally Bono in the Canadian Football League. I mean, might he be a consultant in some way, shape, or form for a potential new owner for the BC Lions, which they desperately need? I could see that, but I just don't think he's going to be completely hands-on in a GM chair if he's not also the coach.
Okay, so do you see a replace? Like, is G. Roy Simon, are they grooming him to be the GM?
You know, I think so. But, there's a lot that G. Roy hasn't done in this league yet off the field, right? So is he the guy? Is he the obvious candidate? I'm not sure. I mean, Neil McAvoy as well has probably done the administrative thing and managed the cap and done other things in the way of player personnel. You know, might he be more ready? Potentially. The one thing with G. Roy is that G. Roy is not afraid to roll his sleeves up and work and grind. I think he's got a keen eye for talent. I think he's got good business sense, and I think he can do the job. Is he ready today to take over, or is he going to be ready in 6 months? I don't have that answer. I think there would be some legitimate questions, you know, about that, but I do think that I look at him a lot like people looked at Ed Hervey, right? And I don't know that G. Roy's got as many miles under his belt off the field in those types of capacities that Ed did before he took the Edmonton job. So he's close, let's put it that way. But I'm not sure.
Well, and, you know, Ed Hervey was the other name, because there's not many names out there when it comes to experienced GMs available for teams. And I know that Ed and Wally had a very good working relationship going back to the Mike Riley trade. And, Ed used to told on the show how Wally was the one guy that, kind of gave him a lot of good advice when he first got the job. So I wonder if there's a possible fit there.
You know what? I think it's a reasonable suggestion that Ed Hervey should be considered for any GM posting in the Canadian Football League. Certainly I had my challenges with Ed on the access standpoint, as many people in the Edmonton media did. But you can't argue with how he built that football team and how he went about targeting specific areas at specific times. He had a blueprint and he executed it. Is Ed Hervey a capable general manager? Absolutely. Is he the right fit in a market that is trying to re-energize a fan base? I'm not sure that he is, right? Because certainly there were a lot of hiccups along the way there in terms of public perception and just his ability to put the brand where it needed to go. in Edmonton. There were some questions there. So from a football standpoint, I think he should get considered anywhere. But from a PR standpoint and other ends of it, I think there's some legitimate questions there.
Farhan Lalji from TSN joins us talking CFL. What's your assessment of the Riders? How much better do you think they are?
Wow, it's a good question. I'm not sure they're significantly better, to be truthful. As I look at their roster and watch them in the preseason and see what they've got, I mean, I think there's some real questions there, right? I mean, Kevin Glenn, in my opinion, is a solid quarterback if he's not asked to carry an offense. You know, you need a running game. He needed John Cornish in Calgary. He needs a legitimate offensive line. And you can say that about any quarterback, but when you look around at what Mike Riley did in Edmonton when the offensive line had massive question marks, when you look at what Bo Levi Mitchell did in Calgary when they've had major injuries on their lines, throughout his tenure there. And he's been able to, at times, just, you know, manufacture magic with not much around him. I don't know that Kevin Glenn is capable of doing that. And I think there's still questions on Saskatchewan's offensive line. I mean, they've got to stay healthy. They're not deep. They've certainly got an explosive receiving core. They don't have a running game that's established right now. So I just see so many questions on the offensive side of the ball there. Are they better? Yes. Are they going to contend and make a significant improvement? I'm not sure that they are. And when I looked at them defensively and I look at what the chances they were taking with young guys in the secondary and how badly BC exposed them last week and they made some cuts there, I'm not convinced. Do I think they'll be better? Yeah. Do I think they'll be significantly better and contend for any position above fourth in the West? I don't.
I'm with you, Farhan. I look at their secondary's got questions, their offensive line, and I'm with you on Kevin Glenn. The greatest line former CFL GM told me about Kevin Glenn was, he'll throw three interceptions a game. It's up to you to how many you catch.
And, no kidding.
You know, and he's been a good quarterback, just he's not a great quarterback. And when you've got BC, Edmonton, and Calgary clearly have better quarterbacks right now, and you know, him and Matt Nichols, I guess, we can debate Glenn's been better long-term. Nichols was quite good last year. What about in the East? You know, Ottawa won the Grey Cup, and if we look back, they didn't even have a 500 record going 8-9-1 in the regular season. There's lots of change in front office in Montreal and in Toronto. Ottawa, of course, Henry Burris is gone. So is there a team you see right now as the favorite, or is the East wide open?
I think the East is wide open, and I know, truthfully, I think the team that I think will exceed expectations is Toronto, because of the management situation. I mean, we all thought this was going to lead to disaster there, and I don't know that anybody in Toronto in terms of the fan base actually noticed, so that was a good thing. But they wound up, because they couldn't get anything done in free agency, having room left so that when Jim Popp and Mark Trussman took it over, they still had some room to play with and add some pieces, and I think that they've done that. I also think their quarterback situation is going to be way better because, A, Mark Trussman is there, Ricky Ray's a little healthier, and the guys they've got in the queue, right down to their fourth-string guy, Dakota Prukop, I think are very good. So I think the future is bright there at that position in Toronto. I think they've got some good offensive pieces. They were able to make key additions on the defensive side of the ball. Yeah, they lost some stuff on February 1st, but they were able to add a couple of good pieces. I think they'll exceed expectations. Very curious to see what Ottawa looks like without some of those key receivers and without a safety net for Trevor Harris. I think he's going to be fine, but let's see what it looks like for 18 games. I think he got the short end of the stick at times in Toronto and in Ottawa, and obviously he's going to be pretty motivated. And he's not a young kid. He's in his 30s, so I think he'll do well. But like you say, I mean, this was a barely 500 team that got on the run at the right time and played a great game in the Grey Cup. So curious to see what that looks like. I think Montreal's in trouble. I really do. In the East, I'm not a believer in what they've got going there in terms of management and coach all the way down. Darian Durant, if he stays healthy, can mask a few problems to the point where they'll be 500. But I think there's a lot of holes there as well. And Hamilton is always that team that we go into the season thinking that's the team that's going to win the East and is going to win the Grey Cup or is going to compete. And they, somehow or another, they always stub their toe and fall short, whether it's through injury or or ineffectiveness in one end of the game. So I think it's completely wide open and anybody can make a case in the East.
Farhan Lalji joins us from TSN. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers looked like they were dead in the water, you know, through five games last season. And then they had a massive turnaround. They went to Matt Nichols, and in his time in Edmonton, he'd never really been a guy who could who could put a team on his shoulders and be a leader. But that all changed last season. You know, what's your estimation of Nichols? Was it just a hot run, or do you think he can build on last season?
I think he can build on it, and I think he's a solid quarterback. Do I put him in the elite category? I don't. Do I think he's more than a game manager? I do. And certainly Paul Lapolis can get the most out of him. But my honest opinion is I think they're average at receiver. I really do. And I know that Kenny Stafford got cut and is back in Edmonton, and that's supposed to speak volumes for how good they are at receiver. But when I look at the receiving corps in the West, I just see them in fourth or fifth in terms of most explosive receiving corps in the West. So it's not just about Matt Nichols, but it's the pieces he's got to throw to. I think they're very good up front along the offensive line. You know, Andrew Harris, you know what you're going to get there. I don't know if he takes a step back due to age. I still think he's got something left in the tank. But it's just when I look at the weapons Matt Nichols has, I think they're average relative to the other teams in the West. And people in Winnipeg won't like me saying that, but that's just how I assess them offensively. So I don't believe that Matt Nichols – I don't believe the Winnipeg Blue Bombers can win the turnover margin by the same way they did last year. I just think that's completely not reasonable. I mean, it was unbelievable what they were able to do on both sides of the ball in terms of generating and protecting. I just think that we get a bit of a market correction there a little bit. I don't think Nichols is going to throw 15, 18 interceptions, but I do think he's going to throw a few more, and I just don't think they're going to be able to generate nearly as many.
And what about the Edmonton Eskimos, Farhan? What do you see from them? 10-8 last season. Are they an improved team? Are they a 10-8 team? What do you think?
I think they're going to be improved, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. I think that's the biggest thing for them there. I mean, we saw what happened at the start of the year defensively, but there was so much roster turnover the first half of the season that it really shouldn't have been a surprise to anybody. And I just think there's a little more consistency there. Another year under Mike Benavides' system, I think they're going to start the season at a higher level on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, I think they're going to be fine because Mike Riley, I just think so much of him as a quarterback and just as a competitor. He's gonna squeeze every drop of juice, offensive orange. But defensively, I just think they're gonna enter the season at a higher level, and we'll have a better result because of it. You know, injuries notwithstanding, I do think the Eskimos are a better football team.
Farhan, look forward to a high-scoring affair on Saturday night. We appreciate your time.
All right, thanks for having me, Jason.
You betcha. Farhan Lalji from TSN.